He followed her gaze and saw what she was talking about. Heat flared inside him, and he knew that this time was going to be fast, dirty, and very pleasurable. Bending, he swept her off her feet.
"Mike!"
He gave her a fierce glance before he strode over to the bed. He was thankful that the covers were already turned down for the night. Placing a knee on the bed, he gently laid her down on the light blue linens. "Stay like that," he ordered, in a soft, firm voice. Marina nodded. He could feel her eyes on him as he undressed. Placing his trousers on the chair, he pulled the belt free from the silk robe. He grimaced when he felt his body's immediate reaction.
Mike?
Marina called, interrupting his thoughts. He turned his head to look at her. She remained where he had told her to, but her gaze kept moving toward the table near the balcony doors. He frowned and glanced over. He slowly smiled in understanding and nodded at her silent plea. Gripping the belt in one hand, he walked over to Mr. Bow, where it lay on a small table, humming. He picked up the bow and held it in his other hand, turned back, and crossed the room. A low groan escaped the bow.
"I was being good," Mr. Bow complained. "I was minding my own business."
"It doesn't matter. Marina is uncomfortable," Mike chuckled.
"Do you have any idea how long I was around before I was a bow? I've seen things you and Marina could only dream of doing. If you want some advice, I can tell you..."
Mike bent over, placed the bow in the closet, and shut the door, cutting off Mr. Bow's words of wisdom. It would be a cold day in hell before he let a tree tell him how to make love to his woman. He walked back over to the bed.
"Thank you," she said, blushing.
Mike climbed up on the bed and straddled her waist. Her eyes widened when he held out his hand and allowed the belt to unfurl from his fingers. He gave her a wicked smile and motioned for her to lift her arms.
"You can thank me afterwards," he informed her.
If he thought she would be intimidated, he was wrong. Instead, she lifted her wrists up and rolled her hips under his buttocks. Leaning forward, he caught her wrists and wrapped the silk around them. Reaching up, he looped the other end around the headboard of the bed. What he did not anticipate was that the angle would align his cock with her lips. The moment he felt her warm breath and moist tongue against the tip of his cock, he knew he had lost control of the situation. His plans to tease her, make her come, and tease her again dissolved into mindless pleasure when she suddenly wrapped her lips around the end of his cock, rose her head up, and slid it further into her mouth. He gripped the headboard of the bed, the end of the belt still in his hands, and looked down. Marina was beautiful as she sucked on him. He moved his hips back and forth in unison. Reaching down next to her, he pulled a pillow up under her head. He curled his fingers as he slowly slid his cock back and forth. The mesmerizing feel and sight of her lips around him were captivating. He finished tying off the belt so her arms were above her head. Once he was finished, he lowered his hands behind his back and found her swollen nub. She moaned around his cock, and he swore the vibration traveled in a direct line to his ball. Realizing he was very close to coming, he pulled free. Her soft words of protest echoed through the room. He ignored them as he slid down her body and between her legs.
"Mike,"
she whimpered, twisting against the covers. The belt was loose enough that she could pull her hands free if she wanted, but she didn't. Instead, she gripped the strap, her body arching in need. Lifting her legs, he placed one over each of his shoulders, pressing a kiss to the inside of each one as he did it. Her body arched again, lifting her soft curls up to him in invitation, even as her heels pressed against his back. Spreading her folds, he bent forward and caught the small nub between his lips and began sucking. She stiffened, her back arched, and her head thrown back as her hands twisted and fought to control the intense pleasure engulfing her.
"Come for me, baby,"
he murmured, teasing her clit with his tongue.
Come all over my mouth.
Marina's loud pants increased. Her breasts swayed and her body trembled as he increased his attack on her core with a combination of finger-fucking, licks, and hard sucking. Her lips parted and she turned her face into her arm, releasing a scream as she came hard. Mike lapped up her release, coaxing from her a series of mini-orgasms. He could feel her channel squeezing his fingers. The need to feel that same tightness around his cock drove him to his knees. Her legs slipped off his shoulders, and he caught them in his arms as he prepared to enter her. Still trapped in the aftermath of her orgasm, Mike thrust his cock as deep as he could, before pulling out and doing it again and again. He kept her legs trapped in his arms, her hips raised, and his gaze locked on the mindless ecstasy that she was experiencing. He could feel the change in her body when she realized that he wasn't finished with her yet. Marina was struggling to release her wrists, but she ended up twisting them tighter. Mike rocked his hips forward harder and deeper with each thrust as his fragile controls snapped. Marina's body began to glow with the colors of her magic. Mike could feel the tingling of her aura against his skin, wrapping around him. He fell forward when she finally released her wrists and reached for him. Wrapping her legs around his hips as he leaned over her, she pulled his head down and captured his lips, the combined taste of their lovemaking mixed on their breath as they kissed. Mike could feel his release build to a breaking point. Sliding his arms underneath her, he drove his hips hard enough that the massive bed shook. He broke their kiss and buried his face in her neck as he came. He shook from the force and fought to catch his breath. Every muscle strained to hold Marina closer and bury himself deeper inside her. Their hips ground together as his cock pulsed his seed deep into her womb. They lay like that, still connected to each other, his face buried against her neck. In all honesty, he didn't think he could have pulled free of her. His cock was still massively hard and thick, and her canal held him in a tight fist. Breathing heavily, he pressed kisses to her passion-damp skin. Unable to resist, he nipped at her neck. He wanted to leave his mark on her.
"You make me want to do crazy things," he finally murmured.
"Like what?"
she asked, in a sleepy voice. He pulled back and gazed down at her with a serious expression.
"Like asking you to be my wife," he said.
Marina turned her head and gazed up at him. The sleepy, satiated look faded, and her eyes cleared. He could see her confusion.
"What are you saying, Mike?"
she asked. Mike brushed a kiss across her lips before leaning his weight onto his right side and reaching for her hand. He brought it to his lips and pressed a kiss to her fingers.
"Marina Fay of the Isle of Magic, I'm asking if you would do me the pleasure of becoming my wife," he repeated.
Marina's eyes shimmered with tears before she gave him a trembling smile.
"Yes, Mike Albrecht. My answer is yes," she whispered,
before pulling his head down and capturing his lips again.
Chapter 19. By the next afternoon, the palace courtyard on the Isle of the Sea Serpent looked like a staging area for a massive attack force. Mike had never seen such a mixture of warriors in his life. He couldn't imagine how the war between each of these species must have played out. Hell, even with only one dragon, it was enough to scare the shit out of him. He glanced up at the sky. A dozen of Nali's airships, complete with the Thunderbirds, hovered above them. Earlier, he had seen the same number of pirate ships. Nearly 100 giants appeared, arriving on great flying beasts that looked suspiciously like the hippogriffs he used to draw when he was a kid.
"This is incredible,"
Marina breathed, coming to stand next to him on the front steps.
"I have to agree," he replied with a grin.
Mike watched as Marina hugged Mr. Bow to her chest. He could feel her nervousness and her excitement for her people. He reached over and ran his hand down along her back in comfort.
"Surely, with this much force, the Sea Witch can be defeated," she added, nervously biting her bottom lip.
"We will not stop until your people are free, Marina," Orion promised, coming to stand next to them. "How badly will Magna's spell affect everyone?" Mike asked. "It is possible it will affect some of us more than others. We have planned our attack so that our powers are minimally impacted if the spell does affect us strongly. We do not plan to give Magna time to utilize her magic," Orion explained.
"Everyone is ready. Of my people, I could possibly be the only one affected by Magna's spell. My monsters will protect me until dawn if that is the case," Nali said, climbing the steps.
"I will remain in my dragon form. The spell should not affect me as much then," Draco replied. Mike watched warily as Asher came up the steps two at a time. Asher nodded to the others before he turned his gaze to Mike and Marina. Mike pulled Marina closer to his side when the pirate chuckled.
"You are a smart man, my wily human warrior. She is worth keeping a close eye on," Asher remarked.
"Are your men ready, Asher?" Draco asked.
"Of course. They live for a good fight, especially one where they will more than likely die or be turned to stone like your unfortunate clan," Asher replied dryly.
Draco started toward Asher, but Carly stepped forward and put her hand on Drago's chest. Tugging gently on his beard, she made him look at her instead. Mike watched in amazement as Carly skillfully distracted the giant dragon.
"You'd better not get hurt, or I'm going to take the kids and my paper birds back to Oregon," she threatened in an unsteady voice that broke on the last word.
The rumble of Drago's growl was easily heard by everyone standing nearby. Drago swept Carly into his arms. He scowled at all of them.
"I need to speak with my mate," he said in a gruff tone before he turned and disappeared into the palace.
"I never expected that," Asher commented with wide eyes.
"Everyone prepare to leave in 2 hours," Orion said, his gaze locked on where Jenny was pensively standing by one of the pillars.
"I need to speak with my men," Corgan stated.
"Well, I could use a drink. Asher, come on. You can pour it," Nali ordered in a tone that said she wanted to have a talk with him.
"What did I do this time?"
Asher said with a groan that quickly turned to a loud curse when Nali wrapped her arm around his waist. Mike blinked and took a step back when wings suddenly appeared from her back and she pushed up off the ground.
"Goddess's fingernails, Nali! You know I hate it when you do this without warning," Asher yelled.
Mike shook his head and watched as they disappeared over the side of Nali's airship. Shaking his head, he looked down at Marina. He could see the wonder in her eyes as well.
"I'm glad I'm not the only one who thinks this is crazy," he teased.
"I never thought that royalty could be so entertaining," she confessed with a grin.
"You know, we have a couple of hours that we could kill doing something much more interesting," Mike murmured.
Marina's eyes widened before she gazed at him with a wicked gleam in her eyes.
"Can I tie you up this time?"
she asked with a suggestive grin.
"Oh, please, put me in the closet again," Mr. Bow muttered with a sigh.
2 hours later, Marina called out to Mike as he finished pulling on his boots. He felt strange, dressed like the locals. The knee-high, dark brown boots fitted over the form-fitting, matching brown pants. The taupe-colored shirt and black vest finished off his outfit. He felt like he was dressing up to go find missing treasures. All he needed was a broad-rimmed hat and a whip.
"Mike, it is time to leave,"
Marina called from the other room.
"I'm ready,"
he answered, buckling his gun holster around across his chest before picking up his jacket.
"Shit, Marina," Mike said, pausing in the doorway between their room and the bathroom.
"What is it?"
she asked, turning in a circle and frowning. Mike pulled his jacket on and walked toward her. He wrapped his arm around her waist and pulled her against him. She tilted her head back and rose up on her toes to kiss him.
"You are so beautiful, and I'm scared to death something might happen to you,"
he admitted, in a slightly uneven voice. Her gaze softened, and she raised a hand, running it down his cheek. Mike turned his head and pressed a kiss to her palm. He wished there was a way to leave her here with Jenny and Carly.
They are my people, my family. I have fought to protect them, and I will continue to do so. Aaron and the other children are there. I've already been gone too long. What if something has happened to them as well?
She fretted. They're smart. You taught them well. Just
be careful, he said. I will. I promise, she replied.
Her promise didn't completely wipe away Mike's feeling of unease. He was going up against creatures straight out of a horror novel. The memory of the hellhound he had killed on the beach flashed through his mind. It had only been injured until Marina shot it with her arrows. Now he had only a few bullets left. Once his clip was empty, he was defenseless against such creatures. A knock on the door drew their attention to the fact that it was time to leave. Nodding to Marina, he followed her to the door. Marina strapped Mr. Bow to her side and took a deep breath before she opened the door. Jenny stood on the other side of the door, looking pale but composed. She gave them an uneven smile before murmuring that Orion and the others were waiting for them on the front steps. Following Jenny down the grand corridor, Mike couldn't help but think of the young woman he had met over a year ago. His admiration for her grew when he realized everything she must have gone through after finding herself in this strange world.
Jenny!
Jenny slowed and glanced over her shoulder at him. They paused a short distance from the open front doors. Mike could see that Jenny was having a hard time keeping her eyes from moving to Orion.
Yes, Mike,
she said, turning to look at him.
Did you ever have any second thoughts or doubts that you belonged here?
He asked, aware that Marina had stiffened beside him. Jenny's tense expression softened, and she shook her head.
Never, she said. Do you?
Mike shook his head.
No, it's strange, but it feels right to be here, he finally admitted.
Is everything all right?
Orion asked, stepping through the door to join them. Mike nodded.
You don't happen to have an extra knife or a bazooka on you, would you?
He half-heartedly joked. Jenny giggled while Marina and Orion looked at him with a blank expression. Clearing his throat, Mike twisted his lips in sardonic amusement. Obviously, they didn't have bazookas in magical realms. Of course, who needed them when you had fire-breathing dragons and scary monsters?
I could use a knife if you have one to spare, Mike clarified.
Ah, yes, of course, Orion said with a nod. Capion, Mike needs a blade.
Yes, Your Majesty, Capion said with a snap of his fingers.
A minute later, Mike was strapping a sword on his hip. He would have made a sarcastic comment that it was overkill, but he felt that before the night was over, he would be thankful he had it instead of the hunting knife.
My men are ready. We will arrive by sea as planned, Orion said, as Mike secured his sword.
Are you sure Magna won't know we are coming? Mike asked, studying the man.
Orion returned Mike's scrutiny with a determined look of his own. Magna's spell should not affect us as it does those living on the Isle of Magic. Our magic is different, and all spells do not work the same. Also, we will not be affected for as long as those on the Isle, he explained. Drago will come in from the air while we approach from the sea. As we planned earlier, Marina and you will meet us on the north beach, as it is close to the river and more isolated. There is no reason for any of Magna's creatures to be there, since there are no villages along that section of the isle, according to Marina.
We will guide you to the river, King Orion. Drago will patrol the skies until you reach the lake. Nali and her monsters will descend upon the palace from the city. A reminder, King Orion, that the river that runs under the palace walls to the north and comes up on the other side into the lake is very deep and treacherous, Marina warned.
Orion gave a sardonic smile.
For those who cannot breathe underwater, he interjected.
I will take several of my men with me and open the gates for Nali's warriors.
Will she be able to protect the statues in the garden? She might be weak from Magna's spell,
Jenny commented with a frown.
Nali informed me a short while ago that she has come up with a solution to the issue. She won't be in a form that will be affected by the spell, Orion assured Jenny.
Inside the palace, King Drago will protect those that she turned to stone and destroy the hellhounds while Mike and I locate the king and free him,
Marina continued, recounting their plans from earlier.
I will deal with Magna once and for all. We cannot risk her harming the queen and king, Orion stated.
It's time to move out. We will see you in 3 hours, Mike replied, with a nod to the others.
We will meet you in 3 hours on the North Beach, Orion confirmed. It will be dark, and Magna should have retreated to the palace by then.
Mike watched as Orion reached out and pulled Jenny towards him. They held each other for a moment before Orion stepped back. Turning, the Sea King lifted his hand and signaled to the others that it was time to leave. Mike wrapped his arm around Marina's waist. He tightened his face in resignation when she handed him the colored stones from her grandmother. He gave her a wry smile before he bent over and placed them on the floor. Straightening, he looked at her, glad that they were alone.
At least I'll have time to get over being sick before everyone else arrives, he said, with a rueful expression.
Marina shook her head as she stepped into the circle beside him.
I have an idea, she replied.
Mike started when she wound her arms around his neck. He instinctively moved his hands down to her waist and gripped her hips, pulling her against him. Bending his head until his lips were almost touching hers, he couldn't resist closing the final distance. He pressed a brief, hard kiss to her lips.
What idea is that? Is it anything like a couple of hours ago? Mike teased.
Marina sighed.
If only it could be. I'm going to distract you. I don't have to say the chant aloud for it to work, she murmured,
before she closed her eyes and kissed him again. Mike's low groan echoed through the room as the swirling colors engulfed them. He closed his eyes, hoping to keep the nausea at bay this time. He could feel the magic flowing around him, through him. He was familiar with the feel of it now, and didn't resist the invisible tug as Marina cast her spell. Warmth swept through him, and he swore he could see the silvery threads connecting them together, even though his eyes were closed. He deepened their kiss when Marina's lips parted beneath his, and her tongue teased him, reminding him of the other pleasures she had given him a short time ago.
As far as I'm concerned, she can distract me any time she wants, he thought,
as the room around them faded, and he found himself standing on a soft, sandy beach. Lifting his head, he blinked in disorientation. Moonlight glittered on the water a short distance from where they were standing. To their left, the trees swayed in the breeze as if cheering Marina's return.
That wasn't so bad,
Mike murmured, his eyes quickly adjusting to the darkness. He turned to look down at Marina just as her eyes rolled back in her head.
Marina!
Mike's arms protectively tightened around Marina when her legs gave out from under her. Her eyes fluttered for a moment as she fought to keep them open, but it was impossible. The weight of Magna's spell had slammed into her, draining all the energy from her body, even with Mike's touch. He picked her up in his arms and carried her over to a nearby tree where he gently lowered her to a soft thatch of grass growing underneath. He unhooked Mr. Bow and laid it to the side before he slid his hand along her cheek and cupped it. His hand trembled slightly as he waited until she opened her eyes. He needed to reassure himself that she was all right.
It's Magna's spell, and the drain from creating the portal. My magic is not made for such spells, she whispered,
forcing her eyes open.
Give me a few minutes.
Mike breathed a sigh of relief.
Take all the time you need, he said.
He removed his jacket and placed it over her. Turning, he sat down next to her and gently lifted her head so she could use his lap as a pillow. He tenderly brushed her braid to the side.
Shivering, Marina rolled onto her side and pulled his jacket around her.
"I can feel the power within you," she whispered with a sigh. "It is giving me strength. Already I feel stronger than I would have."
"Take all the power you need, honey," Mike offered, leaning back against the tree and staring out at the ocean.
"It is beautiful here."
"One day, I would like to show you how beautiful it truly is," Marina murmured in a barely audible voice.
Mike tightened his hold on her slender figure. He could feel her fatigue. The spell took a lot out of her. Before, her grandmother had helped. This time, Marina had used every bit to transport them here. He leaned over and picked up Mr. Bow, placing it next to her. He smiled when she pulled the bow under the jacket and hugged it close to her. Shifting a little more, he moved until he could straighten his legs. Tilting his head back, he stared up at the stars. Unobstructed, he could see the center of the star system running south to north like a wide river.
"Sleep,"
he instructed, brushing his hand along her silky hair.
"I'll wake you when the others arrive."
Marina started to shake her head before she sighed.
"I shouldn't, but I'm so tired," she grumbled.
Mike's hand paused.
"Get some rest. We will need you to be ready," he ordered in a gruff voice.
She was silent for several seconds. Mike thought she had fallen asleep until she turned her head and brushed a kiss against his leg.
"You are a good man, Mike Holbrook," she sighed. "I'm glad you are here."
Mike felt his chest tighten at her softly spoken confession. He listened as her breathing grew steady and knew she had fallen asleep. Relaxing, he leaned back against the tree and gazed out at the glittering ocean. The light from the twin moons created millions of dancing diamonds that reflected on the surface of the water. Love and fear warred inside him as he continued to tenderly stroke her hair.
"I'm glad I'm here too," he whispered,
settling down to watch and wait for the others' arrival. Chapter 20 Mike's soft whisper in her ear woke Marina from a sound sleep. She sat up and blinked in surprise, feeling more refreshed than she had in over a year, and...
"It's still dark,"
she whispered in amazement, turning to look up at Mike with shining eyes.
"I don't feel the weight that normally drains me."
Mike's eyes glittered for a moment before he concealed his anger.
"It's all the positive mojo I was giving you while you slept," he teased, shifting and rising to his feet.
She took the hand he offered and stood as well. They both stretched. For the first time, Marina could actually see Magna's spell swirling like fine threads through the air. The threads recoiled whenever they brushed close to Mike. Curious, Marina took several steps away from Mike. Gasping, she stumbled back against him. Once again, the vivid red threads recoiled.
"What happened?" he asked, holding her close to his body and looking around.
"I can see Magna's spell," she said, tilting her head.
"You can see? You couldn't see it before?" he asked, puzzled.
"No, I can see a person's magic, but never the actual spell," she replied.
Her fingers itched to touch the threads and see if she could tell how the spell was created. For some reason, the spell was repelled by Mike. Turning, she looked at Mike. Her eyes widened when she saw a shimmering white glow surrounding him.
"What is it?" he asked,
in an uneasy voice. Marina lifted her fingers to trace the glow.
"I see your magic," she breathed.
Mike shook his head.
"I don't have any magic,"
he started to protest before he looked at his arm, then lifted it to see better. He breathed out a soft curse.
"What the? It's your magic," she repeated.
The vivid colors of her magic spiraled outward, touching and entwining his. Her magic changed as they combined, becoming brighter and sparkling with the same light as the stars on the water. Curious, she slowly backed away from him. She stopped when she was halfway to the water.
All around her, the sparkling, soft white glow of his magic clung to her, protecting her from Magna's spell. She felt stronger than she ever had. Running back up to Mike, she threw her arms around his neck and held him. She didn't understand what had happened or why this time was different, but she was grateful.
"Thank you, Mike. You have truly given me a priceless gift," she said, in a voice filled with awe and joy.
Mike started to correct her. Relief flooded him at the sight of Marina's glowing face. She had scared the crap out of him when she collapsed earlier. Emotion choked him. Unable to voice the overwhelming feelings coursing through him, he bent his head and captured her lips. He honestly didn't care what it was or what she called it, magic, aura, a gift. He was just thankful that she was safe from the spell's horrible drain on her body. A slight change in the cadence of the waves caught his attention and sent a flare of warning through him. Releasing Marina's lips, he instinctively turned, placing his body between Marina and the beach while his hand reached for his gun. He relaxed when he saw Orion and a group of men emerging from the sea. Drago's dark shape suddenly appeared out of the night sky to land on the beach nearby. The relieved smile on his lips turned into a scowl when Drago's light chuckle was swept away on the breeze.
"Shit! Damn it, Drago, you are practically invisible at night," Mike snapped. "It wouldn't do me much good if my enemies could see me coming," Drago replied with a toothy grin. Mike shook his head. "Do you have any idea how weird it is to hear your voice coming out of a dragon's mouth? Hell, what am I saying? The fact that I'm talking to a dragon is weird enough," he retorted, running a hand through his hair.
Nali, Corgan, and Asher have arrived at their designated positions on the east, west, and south sides of the kingdom. They will begin moving in shortly. If Nali and her monsters need assistance in protecting the statues, Asher will be the closest, and he has assured me that he could be here quickly, Orion stated. Marina bit her lip. Mike could see a troubled expression in her eyes. Reaching over, he grasped her hand.
"What is it?" he prompted.
Marina looked between Orion and Drago.
"King Asher must not be allowed anywhere near the palace," she softly informed them.
"Why?" Orion asked in surprise.
Mike watched as Marina hesitated and looked out to sea. The memory of LaDonna's warning flashed through his mind. Keeper of the Lost Souls. Asher must be the one who LaDonna warned them about. For some reason, Marina, and obviously Asher, didn't want his particular talent to be public knowledge. "You know what palaces normally have inside them? Can you imagine what might be left after Asher went through it?" Mike joked.
"Gold," Orion dryly remarked. "Jewels," Drago snickered.
Marina drew in a breath and smiled.
"I'm sure my queen and king would appreciate not awakening to an empty treasury," she reasoned.
Mike bit back a chuckle when he felt Marina squeeze his hand in thanks. A part of him felt sorry for helping ruin the Pirate King's reputation, but something told him Asher would rather be known as a thief than a soul collector.
"We need to move. It will be near dawn by the time everyone is in place. We do not want to strike too soon. I have no doubt that Magna would use the innocent lives of your people to protect herself if given a chance," Orion said.
"I can feel the black magic. It has the same taste in the air as it did during the wars. You should have killed the bitch when you had a chance, Orion," Drago snorted, looking at the thick tangle of trees before his gaze moved up the rocky face of the cliff. "I'll save you the trouble this time," he added, looking back at Orion.
Orion grimly nodded.
"I feel the dark magic as well. I have fulfilled my obligations to the laws of my people. If you want to kill her, I will not stop you. But be warned that even with her death, the spells she cast over your people may not be broken," he cautioned.
The large dragon nodded his head before turning his gaze to Mike. Drago stared down at him with intense eyes that glowed with an internal fire, sending a shiver of unease through him. Mike wanted to groan when Drago bared his teeth in warning before he spoke.
"Speaking of mates, when this is over, don't try to talk my mate into returning to your world. She isn't going, even if she did threaten to, if I didn't come back. Dragons don't give up their treasure. And Carly is mine," Drago informed him.
A sudden acuity struck Mike as he gazed at the huge dragon. Drago was afraid of losing the woman he loved. It dawned on him that his sudden appearance in this world had deeply shaken Drago and Orion. He couldn't believe that he was just now comprehending that they were worried that his presence might somehow jeopardize Carly and Jenny remaining here. The thought hadn't even entered his mind. Well, not for long, anyway. It hadn't taken him long to see that both women were where they wanted to be. Besides, he reasoned, who in their right mind would argue with a dragon? After seeing Carly Tate in her dragon form, he wouldn't want to think of the damage she could do back home after some of the stories he had been told. He could just imagine the whole West Coast going up in flames if she caught a cold. "Like I said before, my job was just to make sure she was safe. I'm glad she is here and not dead. I can close the case. That is all I care about," Mike assured the dragon.
"Good. Orion, I'll wait for your signal above the palace," Drago replied.
Drago turned and walked several yards down the beach before he took off.
"Is he always this pleasant before a battle?" Mike asked, with a hesitant laugh.
"I think the better question to ask is if he is ever pleasant. Of course, he is probably scared and doesn't want to admit it. You saw his three children. Drago was probably terrified he would get stuck with them alone. Especially little Jenny Rue. Drago told me she is a lot like her mother."
"Drago had to fireproof the paper birds the last time Rue was sick," Orion chuckled.
Marina smothered her laugh.
"If you follow me, Your Majesty, I will show you and your men the way to the river," she said with a sigh of apprehension.
Mike could feel the adrenaline kick in. It was showtime. He turned and walked back to the tree where his jacket and Mr. Bow were lying on the grass. Picking up his jacket, he slipped it on, double-checked his gun to make sure the safety was on, and picked up Mr. Bow.
"I feel normal," Mr. Bow exclaimed.
"It must be my magical mojo," Mike chuckled at the excited hum of the bow. "I just hope you feel that way when we get to the palace."
Mr. Bow quivered. "You stay near Marina, and I'll fire my arrows," he promised.
"Deal.
Whatever you do, make sure you protect your mistress," Mike quietly ordered.
"Always,"
Mr. Bow softly answered. He returned to Marina, where she was quietly talking to Orion. She reached for Mr. Bow, smiling at Mike when she felt the familiar hum of magic in the wood. He nodded in acknowledgement.
"Mike and I will find the king and do everything we can to keep him safe," Marina finished.
Orion nodded and turned to his captain of the guard standing silently behind him.
"Capian, just in case, have two of the men fall back and cover the rear. I do not trust Magna. She could have some of her other unnatural creatures patrolling the inner perimeter of the palace."
"Anything made of magic will be weakened," Marina said.
Orion pursed his lips and shook his head.
"It is her non-magical creatures I worry about. The inky blackness that attacked me in the throne room was not made from Magna's magic. It was something else."
"She will keep whatever it is close to her," Orion replied in a terse tone.
"I know that the Hellhounds are not easy to destroy. I have only seen the other creature once. The day the Sea Witch changed my brother to stone,"
Marina responded in a solemn voice.
"We will do everything we can to stop her and restore your people, Marina."
"Capian, make sure the men use full charge on their tridents," he ordered.
"Full charge, men,"
Capian ordered the men, standing behind them.
"Lead the way, Marina. We only have a few hours until sunrise," Orion said.
Chapter 21 An hour later, the small group emerged along the edge of a narrow but deep ravine. The wide waterfall fed the underground river that surfaced on the other side of the palace walls
and flowed into the pristine lake on the palace grounds. Marina knew from experience that the water was deep.
"Please be careful, Your Majesty. Isha once told Father that he swam the underground river to see if it was possible. There are many caves that dead end. There are also eels, sharp rocks, and passages that he said he was barely able to squeeze through. Once you enter, the swift current will prevent you from coming back out this way," she warned, staring down at the glittering mist shining in the moonlight.
"You needn't worry, Marina. My men and I are very adept at handling anything under the water," Orion dryly reminded her. She released a self-conscious snort.
"I'm sorry, Your Majesty. Tonight may be the only chance we have to save my people," she replied with a bow of her head.
"There is no need to apologize. We will be successful," Orion told her, touching her chin so she was forced to look at him. "I promise." Her expression softened, and she smiled.
"I believe you," she murmured.
Orion dropped his hand and nodded to Mike, who stood to the side. "Safe journeys. We will see you at the palace," he said. "Good luck," Mike automatically responded with a nod of his head. Marina watched as Orion nodded to Capion before he dove off the side of the cliff into the turbulent waters below. The others quickly followed. She waited to see if they surfaced, but they didn't. She hoped they would be successful. It would be a fight to get through the waters, even for the sea people. Once the men were inside the palace, Orion and his men must kill any of the hellhounds that patrol the interior courtyard, while one of his men opened the gate for Nali and her monsters. Now that her magic was restored, she could seek the aid of the trees and other plants to help them. Once Nali and her monsters secured the statues in the courtyard, Orion, Drago, her, and Mike could enter the interior of the palace and discover where the Sea Witch was holding the king.
"Let's go," Mike said in a quiet voice.
"Yes," Marina responded with a slight nod. They wove their way through the forest to the eerily silent outer city. She turned and headed through the park that was adjacent to the palace grounds.
Running down the same path she had traversed nearly a year before, they wound their way through the forest to the outer wall of the palace.
"Please, Mr. Tree, guide us safely to the other side of the wall," Marina softly requested.
She breathed a sigh when the vines hanging from the tree reached down. Lifting her arms, she waited for the vines to wrap around her wrists. Mike hesitated a moment before he reluctantly did the same. She heard Mike's swiftly inhaled breath when the vines lifted them off their feet. Seconds later, they were lowered to the ground on the other side of the wall. Marina blanched and stumbled back from the interior wall when she saw the tangle of black moving along the stone wall. They had escaped the creature's detection by not climbing on the wall. Marina could see the skeletal remains of birds, small mammals, and insects, which had not been so fortunate, caught in the thick tentacles.
"I don't understand," she whispered, as she stared at the moving vines. "If the Sea Witch used her magic to enchant these vines, they should be normal. The spell she cast should have weakened, just as it does with the ogres. I think this isn't magic, but the same creature that chased me before."
"A creature?" he muttered, stepping back when the curling vines twisted toward him. Marina frowned, puzzled.
"Perhaps this is its natural form."
"Whatever in the hell it is, we need to stay out of its reach and get to the palace," Mike grimly pointed out. Marina nodded and looked around them. She waved her hand to Mike to follow her. They moved through the maze, staying in the middle where the light of the moon shone. Several times they were forced to pause when they saw a black tentacle stretching across their path.
"We will have to go a different way," she whispered.
The path leading to the main garden was blocked. The moving tentacles looked like a bed of boiling worms or snakes. Backing away, she signaled to turn left. She began to worry that they were taking too long. Turning to the right, she could see a narrow side entrance to the maze.
This one came out near the sheds that housed the supplies for the gardeners.
"Marina, run!"
Mike hissed. She glanced over her shoulder and gasped. Behind them, the black tentacles had transformed into thick spears that were moving through the maze. Bursting into a run, Marina focused on the opening. Behind her, she could hear Mike's steady breath, the sound of his feet hitting the ground and the snapping of wood as the spears struck the limbs of the bushes behind them. She bit back a cry of frustration because she was unable to protect the century-old plants.
"Hang on!"
The sound of Mike's voice penetrated her mind a second before his arm wrapped around her waist, and they went flying through the air. Mike turned, holding her against him before they hit the ground and rolled. Breathing heavily, they looked over their shoulders at the entrance to the maze. Jagged, sharp points a foot apart sealed the entrance. They would have been impaled if Mike had not grabbed her and jumped out of the maze.
"It must have sensed something was in the maze," she whispered,
watching as the deadly tentacles slowly retracted.
"Yeah," Mike said, rolling onto his back and staring up at the starlit sky for a moment.
Above them he could barely make out the silhouette of Drago as the Dragon King flew across one of the bright moons. Rolling to his stomach, he pushed up off the ground and held his hand out to help Marina up. "Are you all right?"
"Yes, I think so," she replied,
bending to pick up Mr. Bow off the ground before she grabbed Mike's hand.
"What do we do now? How can we fight such a creature?"
Marina didn't want to admit that she was terrified. This creature the Sea Witch had under her control was far more powerful than anything she'd had to deal with so far. The Hellhounds were bad enough, but at least she knew she could kill them. This creature was different. Mike glanced around. A slow, menacing smile curved his lips. He turned and pulled her along with him.
"Come on, I have an idea," he said, heading for one of the buildings.
Mike cut around the side of the building, making sure it was safe first. Peering through the window, he grunted. He could see an open door on the other side. Keeping his back to the wall, he turned the next corner. A large cart stood next to the building, a few feet from the open door. Beside it stood two men, petrified in place. One held a large bag, while another carried a bundle of wood under his arm. Their heads were turned back toward the palace, their stone faces etched with expressions of confusion and fear.
"This is what she did to the entire population of dragons, except for the Dragon King. In some ways, I wonder if it would have been more merciful than to live with the fear of knowing what could happen,"
Marina quietly said, walking up to run her fingers along one of their faces.
"As long as there is one person who can stand up to Magna and fight, there is always a chance of breaking the spell and freeing those who were imprisoned," Mike sharply retorted.
"How can we fight her and that creature?" she asked.
Mike could see the hopelessness seeping into her eyes. Stepping forward, he turned her around to face him and cupped her face.
"They wouldn't give up now. Trust me, Marina. I swear I will do everything I can to free your people. Tonight is the night. Believe in that. We have a kick-ass team with some of the scariest warriors I've ever seen in my life. If anyone can defeat Magna and that black thing, we can," Mike softly and passionately vowed.
He saw her swallow, and her look of doubt and despair dissolved into determination. She nodded, rose up on her toes, and brushed a kiss across his lips. Pulling back, she gave him a shaky smile.
"What is your plan?" she asked.
"Fire. Just about everything hates fire," Mike said, with a confident grin.
"Except dragons," she said.
Mike raised an eyebrow at her and tisked.
"Okay, I'll give you that. I'm willing to bet my collection of autographed baseballs that thing doesn't like it, though," he said.
He watched as a glimmer of excitement lit up Marina's eyes. She bit her lip and glanced at the cart. Walking over to it, she began gathering up some materials. She searched the cart, opening several jars until she found what she was looking for.
"What are you doing?" he asked, following her.
She glanced around, her eyes darting to a pile of debris off to the side of the building.
"I need several long poles," she whispered, lifting the cloth and the jar. "I can make torches."
Mike gave Marina a sharp nod. "I'll get some," he replied, turning toward the pile. He returned and watched for a moment while Marina set the items she had collected down on the ground and straightened. Glancing around, she rummaged in the cart again, pulling out the largest clay bowls she could find. She returned to the other items on the ground. Tearing the material into strips, she placed them to the side while she poured the contents from the jar into the bowl. She glanced up at him when he held out four poles, each one approximately 3 feet long. In his other hand, he held a small box that had been on the ground next to the pile.
"These should work," she said with a nod.
Mike watched as she took one of the poles and quickly wrapped the cloth around the end. She attached the strips to the remaining poles and dipped the fabric ends into the thick gel.
"Do you have any more of that gel?" he asked, placing the box on the seat of the cart.
"Yes, there are several more jars. Look for the ones with a red stripe. That shows they are flammable." "What is in the box?" she asked.
"I'm going to make some Molotov cocktails," he replied, pulling out several of the small jars and lining them up on the edge of the cart.
Mike grabbed one of the jars, pried the lid off, and carefully filled it with the thick gel. He continued to do this until he had filled 3 dozen jars before placing the lids back on them. Opening several crates, he discovered a stash of wax and wicks. Reaching into his pocket, he pulled out a small knife and cut a 2-inch piece of wick for each jar. He used the corkscrew on his knife to punch a hole in the top of each lid. He carefully threaded the wick through the holes. He reached back into the box and pulled out a long candle and a round metal tube that he discovered was a lighter. Flicking the top back, he aimed it at the wax on the candle. Marina watched in fascination as he sealed the top around each wick.
"What does this Molotov cocktail do?" she asked, curious.
Mike grinned. "It makes a big fire. When I was a kid, I was grounded for a month when I made one and threw it on a pile of firewood my dad had just chopped. I spent the month chopping wood to replace what I had torched. It wasn't so bad, though. My dad helped me, and I grew to appreciate how much work it took to chop that much wood," he replied, with a mischievous wiggle of his eyebrows.
"Most children would have resented their father for making them work so hard," she replied, with a glitter of amusement in her eyes. "Why didn't you?"
Mike held up his arm and bent it to show off his muscle.
"Most kids didn't end up with huge muscles by the end of the summer," he replied with a grin. "All the girls in school were after me that year."
Marina gave him an indignant sniff and lowered her head to focus on her torches.
"I can imagine they would have been anyway. I was popular with the boys in my village. None of them could handle a powerful bow the way I could," she retorted.
He softly chuckled.
"I don't think it was just the bow, Marina," Mike murmured.
She looked up and raised an eyebrow in inquiry.
"Why do you say that?"
she asked, her breath catching at the fiery look in his eyes. Mike leaned forward and cupped her chin in his hand.
"While they may have been aware of your prowess with the bow, I believe they were definitely just as aware of the beautiful woman holding it."
"Mike, you know I love it when your voice gets deep like that,"
Marina breathed, before her eyelids fluttered closed and he leaned in to kiss her. Several seconds passed before he reluctantly ended the kiss. As much as he wanted to continue kissing her, now was not the place or the time. Still, he couldn't resist brushing another quick one across her lips when she released a soft sigh. She opened her eyes and gazed at him with a slightly dazed look.
"There really is magic between us. This is something special, Marina. When this is over, I want to make a life with you," he said in a guttural tone.
Marina bit her bottom lip and looked at him with a somber expression.
"Even if it means you may never see your world again? Or your sister?" she asked.
Mike was silent for several seconds before he leaned back and looked down. From the rigid expression on his face, she knew he was thinking about all that he would leave behind. Something deep inside told her that she could not go to his world. She didn't understand why, but it was as if something warned her that she would not be allowed to exist as she was.
"We'll discuss this more when this is over," he replied, looking back up at her. "But the answer is yes. I would leave my world behind to remain here with you."
He saw the relief sweep through her eyes. Her joy was tinged with regret. She knew that making such a decision would always haunt him. Mike turned and finished making small, powerful fire bombs, while she picked up the torches in one hand. Mr. Bow muttered under his breath that he did not like being near anything that could make fire.
"You know I'm made of some of the richest wood on the isle. Elder trees do not burn gracefully," Mr. Bow muttered.
"You do not need to worry, Mr. Bow. If all goes well, you'll be back to shooting arrows soon,"
Marina assured her bow.
"I can do it if Mike is near," Mr. Bow informed her.
Marina looked up at Mike with a raised eyebrow.
"Is that true?" she asked.
"He said he felt normal when I held him," Mike informed her, packing the jars into a large leather knapsack and pocketing the lighter.
"I truly hope he is. We may need his assistance," she replied.
He paused and looked at her.
"Are you ready?" Mike asked.
"Yes."
Even from a distance, Mike could see the mass of black vines moving against the palace walls in the moonlight. Nodding, he motioned for her to lead the way. They would walk through the open area near the lake and work their way around to the front courtyard and gates. Looking up, Mike saw Drago begin his descent down to the lake. He took a deep breath when he saw the dark shadows of Orion and his men emerging from the water.
"Orion and Drago have arrived," Mike pointed out.
"We must meet up and warn them of the vines,"
she said, swerving toward a wide path leading toward the others.
Chapter 22 The white-pebbled path shone in the moonlight. As much as Marina hated the sound of their footsteps echoing in the night, she disliked the dark patches in the soft grass even more. Behind her, she could hear Mike keeping pace with her. They reached the circular fountain at the same time that Orion and his men did. Behind the group, she could see Drago in his dragon form baring his teeth at the wisps of black tentacles.
"This looks like the evil magic that Magna has cloaked herself with," Orion said as a greeting.
"She has spread herself out too much in an effort to secure both the interior, inner, and outer areas of the palace," Drago observed.
"Why would she do that? Surely she realizes that it would weaken her defenses," Capian said.
"You need to be cautious. Even as thin as these appear to be, they can be deadly," Mike warned.
Marina nodded.
"We came through the maze. The black mist came together in deadly spears. It can exist in many different forms. We barely escaped," she said.
"Capian has two men working on opening the gates for Nali. We must get inside the palace. Do we know if Kurgan and Asher were successful in securing the villages?" Orion asked.
"Yes, I saw them come ashore. Remind me to never make Kurgan or his men mad. There were a few stray hellhounds on the loose that didn't make it back to the palace before nightfall," Drago shared.
"What happened to them, if I may ask, Your Majesty?" Capian inquired.
Drago gave everyone a sharp-toothed grin.
"Let's just say they pop when you step on them. The farmers are going to have a large area of fertilized farmland for a while."
"Gross. At least with my magic arrows they disintegrate,"
Marina replied with a shudder.
"I will remain by your side per my orders from Queen Jenny," Capian stated.
Orion shook his head and chuckled before he turned to Marina. She saw his expression turn to one of cold determination and knew he expected her to lead the way. Marina nodded and turned on her heel. She gripped Mr. Bow in one hand and the torches in the other. She kept a wary lookout for the black wisps. She wasn't sure how they were tied to Magna. Her biggest fear was that the Sea Witch was already aware of their presence. They made it to the front of the palace. The walls all the way around were covered in the black vines. She was surprised that they had not encountered any of the hellhounds so far. The thought had no sooner flashed through her mind when she saw a movement out of the corner of her eye.
Look out!
She cried, turning as three hellhounds emerged from between the stone captives littering the courtyard.
Protect the statues! Orion ordered, pointing his trident at the